the truth, you can't handle the truth.
Program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
You want answers? You can't handle the truth.
Welcome to the beautiful campus of LCMSU, everyone. I'm your host, the Chancellor.
I don't know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
Pastor Marcus Zill. We are joined here today again, 2 weeks in a row, with Mr. Scott Barefoot. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing terrific. How are you, Pastor Zill?
I am doing fantabulous. I know that's not a word, but I like to say it. I kind of stumbled across that once. I thought I was trying to, you know how you kind of morph words? I was trying to say fantastic, or I was thinking fabulous, and I said fantabulous. And I'm sure others have done that too, but it always gets a little chuckle. But anyways, we are back here in the Student Union today. We had a great conversation with Scott on last week's program entitled Leaving the Gay Lifestyle by God's Grace. And we heard a little bit about your story and your own struggle, and you're entering into the gay community, and then you're coming out of the gay community and the gay lifestyle completely by God's grace, and how God, through his Holy Spirit, working through his word, led you back to the church of your roots, which is a very unique story. And a couple of years ago, we had you on our as a featured speaker at our Taboo National Campus Ministry Conference. And it was a tremendous blessing to all of us, because this is kind of what you do. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit? Some people maybe didn't listen to last week's program. You work for an organization called People of Grace. Tell everyone just a little bit of the basics about what you do with People of Grace.
Well, I'm the director/president of People of Grace. We're a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. And our purpose is to provide information support to those Christians struggling with unwanted same-sex attractions, as well as resource and support to family and friends who are trying to work with someone struggling in that area. We provide online resources, links to counseling, peer support, and I also spend a great deal of my time traveling around giving presentations on the subject to various Christian groups. So that's sort of People of Grace in a nutshell.
Well, and like I said, we were I was absolutely tickled to meet your acquaintance. We hadn't met before that conference, and Pastor Tom Eckstein up in North Dakota had suggested you, and I'll just say it in case I run out of time later, but couldn't be prouder of you and all that you do. And your organization is completely worthy of our support. And I was tickled to that you had a chance. I keep saying I'm tickled. I get tickled a lot, apparently. It was wonderful that you had a chance to speak in the interest centers at our National LCMS Youth Gathering. And we, of course, had you at our Taboo Conference. And then you were able to come back last week and join us at our Liberty Conference in your old stomping grounds in the Washington, D.C. area. Now you live in Wisconsin. And how can people get a hold of you if they would like to explore having you come and speak? How can they get a hold of you?
They can reach me through the People of Grace website, which is www.pog, as in People of Grace, Lutherans, plural.org. So POG Lutherans.org. And there's a link, contact us button there, that you can send off any sort of comments or requests to
myself. I imagine you do get a lot of comments, probably both positive and negative, I imagine, too, huh?
Oh, absolutely, yep.
So, because you're kind of on the cutting edge of this thing, because there aren't, you know, I remember at the Taboo conference, people heard that you were coming, and we had a big fracas, and it wasn't a huge fracas, but some of the local students in the gay community in St. Louis got a little frothed up that St. Louis University, even though we were renting their space, that you were right. coming to speak, and I remember that, I mean, it was really cold. I don't know if you remember that day a couple years ago. It was really cold. It was like, you know, 8 below in St. Louis. And I will never forget, we were getting ready to come over after our chapel service, and we were going back to the student union. And you were going to present in front of everyone, and they were meeting us in the student union with the table, and they'd set it up, and they had all these signs and everything. And we didn't quite know what to face, and told people to just kind of go in. And then we got into the ballroom, and I had a couple students come up to me, and they said, you know, Pastor Zill, those people are cold. We need to send them some hot chocolate. You know, on campus, you know, we get all this. Everybody yells. Everything's emotive. It becomes an emotional issue. And we think we should do something nice for him. And then I had another campus pastor, Pastor Andre, came up and he said, you know, I'll go talk to him. I had a couple, hey, I'd like to go talk to him. And we actually sent them, I gave somebody my, don't tell anybody. And if somebody at the Synod, the bean counters are listening, I sent someone with my credit card to line up about 20 hot chocolates to send. I armed a couple campus pastors and a few students with some six packs of hot cocoa to go up and visit with these folks. And, you know, nobody convinced anybody one way or the other, but they had a decent conversation. And that was actually kind of a highlight of the week. So we went from having this protest and people all revved up. And, in fact, after the conference, the university, you know, got further, there was further conflict, and I think they ended up giving every dime that they made off of renting us the facilities to the local LGBT group for their own conference, even though we didn't do anything. They felt pressured to show that they were not being two-sided, which of course they weren't being two-sided, because look, we had rented the space and nobody even had to know you were coming, and it wasn't, they weren't endorsing us anyways, but I was really proud of the way we tried to handle that. And, you know, the reason why I wanted to have you back,
that was great.
The reason why I wanted to have you back for a second program here is to kind of talk about some do's and don'ts. Everybody kind of, you know, almost everyone these days, we all know some people, especially college students, high school, that struggle with same-sex attraction, those that are engaged in the homosexual lifestyle, the advent of gay marriage. Everybody knows someone or someones who are in the community or are struggling. And I thought, well, who better to talk to about some of the do's and don'ts of, you know, how to reach out to those, you know, what are some do's? So let's kind of go through these. If it's game for you, let's go through a few do's and then a few don'ts to try to give those of us that don't have the background and experience with working with people in this regard. What are some do's? What things should we keep in mind as do's in terms of reaching out to those in the homosexual lifestyle who have these struggles? Or maybe those that don't struggle.
Yeah, great topic, and I'll be glad to take you through those. So starting out with some do's, first is sort of like an overriding theme for, you know, all of this, you know, reaching out. And, you know, it's I can't emphasize enough the importance of, you know, going about this in the tone of speaking the truth in love. You know, we're not going to win anyone over by, you know, clobbering, blow over the head. And sort of a hand-in-hand with that, and this sort of ties in well with your example from the Taboo Conference the other year, probably one of my biggest views that I share is actually work to become friends, become acquainted with these folks. Start with some underlying relational position. It's not a lot of difference between this and, you hear the term friendship evangelism. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think that's important. Off of that, sort of a next big do that I share, I remind people, someone, a friend, family member, someone that you have had a close relationship with, maybe this is someone that you never in a million years suspected might be struggling with something like homosexuality. Suddenly they're showing up on your doorstep and or calling you up saying, basically, surprise, I'm gay. Sort of the shock and awe factor of an announcement like that sometimes becomes a hindrance. So this next do, you could call it, I call it taking a step back to sort of regroup. If you're sort of blown away by a friend or family member sharing that.
I've had this happen to me a couple of times, and not just with this issue, but with other things that I was startled. And I just said, was just honest. I said, I don't know how to respond at the moment. Can we make another time to get together and talk through it and let me kind of sort through that's okay. That's a good thing to be honest and say, I'm a little startled. It's kind of like being stunned. You need a little bit of a chance to kind of regroup. Is that what you're getting at?
Absolutely, because I think in the sort of heat of the announcement or moment, some of that void that gets filled after an announcement like that immediately, a lot of times it's sort of emotionally driven or charged, and oftentimes really not beneficial. So
now, I would imagine, and you can tell me, if you are announcing to someone that you're gay or that you struggle with this, you're probably expecting them to be a little startled, right? So I would almost think that it would be a nice thing that they go, okay, you are startled. I mean, they're expecting this. I mean, you're not expecting to drop this bomb and have someone be able to adjust in 5 seconds. So this is normal.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. That's very helpful. So speaking the truth in love... So speaking the truth, but doing it in a loving fashion, it's always a good reminder. Being relational, maintaining and becoming friends with someone so that you have a relationship enough to talk to them, and being willing to take a step back. And so what else do we have as some do's?
Probably this next one, if I had to pick one of the more important ones, I think it's this next one, which is why I wanted to make sure we had time to get to it. I call this one level the playing field. And when you're talking with someone like this, and I share it because there is such a perception amongst those embracing a gay identity or in the gay lifestyle. They perceive that Bible-believing Christians who don't struggle with same-sex attraction somehow rate or rank homosexuality as one of these top shelf, worst of the worst sins. Mm-hmm. And if we're honest with ourselves, we as sinful human beings sure do have this tendency at times to point around to our friends or neighbors, sometimes people even in our own families, and say, well, look at Marcus over there, how bad he's messing up his life with sin. Far worse than anything that I do.
No, and that's true. And people, there's people are always want to say, there's a lot of heterosexual sin going on out there too. It's not, there's plenty of lust and perversion, just to talk about Sixth Commandment issues to go around.
And, so taking that out of the equation when you're speaking with your friend or family member, I can't stress the importance of that enough. To pick up on where I left off a minute ago, you know, even though we ourselves do that, you know, the sin rating game, mm-hmm. We know that, you know, God doesn't. He sees all of our sins the same. He hates them all equally, but yet each and every one of us is a sinner that Jesus went to the cross to die for, including Sixth Commandment sins. So it's important to take that sin severity rating system out of the equation when you're talking to your friend or family member.
Especially since now, if someone is your friend and they probably, if they've grown up in the church themselves, they've already heard all that before anyways. You know, they've got this probably awareness that everybody thinks this is somehow. So the last thing you want to do is pile on. So leveling the playing field and showing them that sin is sin, and that we all have struggles, and that maybe even you have your own struggles with other things. That's always helpful.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, speaking of your own struggles, you know, sort of part B to this advice, as far as taking this sin severity rating out of the equation, would be to maybe perhaps share a personal struggle or pet temptations. Oftentimes you hear people refer to them as with your friend or family member and say, well, you know, this is an area of weakness, a struggle in my own life that I've dealt with. And gee, you know, I see that it's really no more or less severe than homosexuality. The only difference is, you know, maybe at the moment, I recognize that when I fall into sin in this manner, that it is such, and I'm repentant and asking for God's help, where maybe right now you're trying to justify or rationalize why it's okay for you to engage in the sin of homosexuality.
And everybody has, you know, Satan loves to find the chink in all of our armors. He's always looking for the place to exploit where we struggle the most. And everybody has one of these struggles because we're all sinful flesh. And so it seems to me that everybody, in talking to someone who's struggling with homosexuality, should certainly, you know, it's kind of hard to say, well, I want to talk about your sin, but I'm not willing to be vulnerable to talk about my own struggles. So that seems to be a wonderful thing to keep in mind. Any other big do's? We got to get to some don'ts. But any other big do's?
The last one was probably the biggest. I wanted to make sure we have time for that. But we can move on to
we've got about maybe 7-8 minutes here. So what are some, I really think that leveling the playing field and being a little vulnerable and sharing with others, you know, your own struggles, and that, so that they don't feel ostracized, like their sin is somehow bigger or worse. But what are some don'ts or some pitfalls that people tend to fall into that we need to be careful of?
Well, the first one I'll share, it's sort of the reverse of my first do, which was, you know, become acquainted, become friends, relational. The first don't would be the opposite of that. You know, don't avoid the subject completely like the plague. I very often hear people will recount or share a friendship or a relationship with me, and they go on and on and on about, you know, how wonderful a human being this friend of theirs is, you know, funny, warm, caring, kind of person that would give you the shirt off their back if you needed it. And then sort of as a footnote, oh, by the way, they're gay. And no, we don't ever talk about that, because I'm worried about rocking the boat, hurting our friendship or relationship. So I encourage people, not that it needs to be the topic of every conversation, but it also shouldn't become the unspoken of elephant in the room that is never discussed.
Okay. So don't avoid the subject like the plague. Is it kind of hard sometimes? I mean, sometimes I would imagine, I've been in a situation myself where I've wondered, okay, is this person struggling with this? You know, I mean, I suppose you can also make the mistake of bringing it up. You know, is it better to wait for someone to bring it up to you, or at least create the climate where they can bring it up, but then when they do, don't avoid it? Or are there pitfalls with even asking someone in the first place?
obviously the timing is something to take into account. You know, it's I wouldn't out of the blue in the midst of a completely unrelated conversation say, hey, I'd like to talk about homosexuality.
You don't go, hey, I'm Marcus. What's your name? Oh, I'm Jim. Oh, are you gay? That's probably not the But I suppose it just underscores the fact that if you're cultivating a relationship with someone, the level of your relationship will help dictate the comfortability of these topics even coming up. So,
yeah, and probably a non-sort of confrontational way to bring it up is actually just by asking sort of curiosity questions that might legitimately be on your mind. So things like, well, you know, hey, I am a Christian, you know, grew up in probably a different climate than you, and just sort of curious. I mean, where do you go in the Bible to see where God is fine with something like this?
Sure. So, don't avoid the subject. What else are some key don'ts?
Probably, you know, I had one of the bigger do's in the last segment. Probably one of my biggest don't piece of advice is the advice that I share with people is don't. In your conversations, use words like I think, I feel, in my opinion, these personal opinion terms. And that might seem counterintuitive, especially in this postmodern day era society that we find ourselves living in, where isn't it really all about supposedly respecting an individual's belief systems and thoughts and feelings. Well, that's true when it comes to this area. You know, watch how fast that sort of blows up in your face if you use a term like that in your discussion with someone who's trying to affirm or justify homosexual behavior. It's sort of like stepping on a virtual landmine because they're immediately going to launch into these responses like, well, you just don't know what it's like. You know, you're a heterosexual person. You don't know what it's like to feel like they were born this way. You can't relate. You're just being hateful or judgmental or biased. No, unfortunately.
And whenever you go down the opinion, this is my big problem, especially on a college campus. Everything's about, you know, we don't actually debate things. We actually emote opinions. And it's right. All about the subjectivity of it. The more objective you can get it, I would think would be helpful because someone says, well, okay, my opinion is this and your opinion is that. I guess we just have different opinions. Okay, well, all right, next topic. I mean, that's not a real good conversational starter to talk about opinions because then it's about you and your subjective nature. And then somebody's arguing your opinion against their opinion as opposed to the truth of God's word. And if you're going to speak the truth of God's word in love, you can't really be talking about your opinion.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't, you know, stress that enough, especially when it comes to this subject. So
you got one more good don't,
and that's sort of my.
We've got maybe just a couple of minutes. I know it's amazing how quick the show goes. What's another big don't?
I guess probably a good one to close on would be. Don't discount small gestures. Probably another very common reason that I hear from people as to why they don't have these conversations with their friends or family is, you know, they're convinced they'll say, well, I know we don't talk about this because I know them so well. And the second the conversation may begin to drift into the direction of their sexuality, you know, it's just going to turn into World War III. So we just don't talk about it. And I encourage people not to think in terms that, you know, these conversations have to turn into some huge showdown or, you know, heated argument. Example of a small gesture that I often share with people is, you know, my dad, shortly after I announced to my family that I was off to embrace this homosexual lifestyle, he sent me a little book, in the mail on it, sort of Christian perspectives on homosexuality. And as you might imagine, that was the last thing I wanted to be getting from dear old dad at the moment. So I tossed the book in the corner. But Interesting thing about that book is for well over 10 years, moved around a number of times, somehow that little book kept getting packed and moved along with me. And then, lo and behold, after that HIV diagnosis was something that I found again after all those years.
So it ticked you off at first, but you never pitched it, did you?
No. Oh. And so I hold that out, you know, sure. as an example. You know, how uncomfortable would it, of a position would it put you in to find a good book on the subject, maybe put together a little note or card?
Well, you can find Scott's book, Forgive Us Our Sins, Homosexuality in Light of God's Truth, on Amazon. Just search for it. Contact him through People of Grace, poglutherans.com. Remember, college is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.